All right, we're live, Friday Night Feels. So we made it again, everyone. Woo! I always feel like there's a celebration when I actually connect, because sometimes you just never know with things in the world. So I'm always extremely grateful when it connects, and being able to do the show that I love and connect with amazing people from around the world. So welcome to Friday Night Feels. I'm licensed mental health counselor and certified life coach, Patrick Monette. And Friday Night Feels is a show that is now about 2 years running already, which I can't believe. It's a show that focuses on a variety of wellness-related issues, such as mental health, addiction, health concerns, stress, relationships, mindfulness, and much more. The focus of the show is to create connection and be able to talk about issues that affect all of us and help us to be the healthiest versions of ourselves that we can be. Each show, I invite one or two or more guests to join me and talk about their experiences. And my incredible guest tonight is Dion Sanchez, who is a warrior for change. So welcome, Dion.
Thank you, Patrick, for having me. First of all, I love your background. That's Mario Brothers. That's a really classic video game that I loved when I was a kid.
Yes, well, it was funny because before COVID hit, I we were talking about you're in Florida and I'm representing New York. So as you know, we get a lot of snow in the winter time. So I said I need something. So when I can't go out, and I bought a Switch, and so now I have like all the Mario games.
Wow.
And I have to say, it's for me, it's just so calming to have those old. So I'm glad you appreciate it. We're in the same page. So I just want to introduce Dion Sanchez, who considers herself a warrior for change, as she's overcome a lot in her life. As the first 2 years of her life, she could not hear or talk. And as a result, struggled with mental health as early as 3 years old. And we're so excited. You know, your story just sounds so interesting. We were chatting before we went live about your podcast and your mental health issues and the all of the different amazing things that you're doing. So welcome to Friday Night Feels.
Thank you, Patrick. I'm so happy to share my story with your audience this evening.
So where would you like to begin on this? You know, you're having rainy weather and so are we. So what do you want to dive into? Tell me a little bit about your story about, you know, everything you went through when you were so young.
Sure. So I entered this world pretty differently, not as a normal human, I would say. As Patrick indicated in this introduction, for the first 2 years of my life, I couldn't hear her talk. Many of you are probably wondering, was there a medical definition or diagnosis for what that was? I wish I can indicate that for you, but there was no name or medical term for what it was that I had. And as far, it was the 90s, I was born in 1995. So if there was a medical definition, it was not in existence yet. And as far as I'm concerned, it's 2022. There may not still be a medical definition for it, but obviously since it was the 90s, I don't think it would still apply to me because I'm talking now. So that didn't really stick. So as a result of that, I struggled with mental health as early as 3 years old. And so that really initiated when I was put amongst fellow peers. Because of all my health deficiencies, I guess the term they technically used a bit was 2 years delayed.
Okay.
For me. Let's say people learn how to tie their shoes at, let's say, 5, I learned at 7. Okay. Just how my mental and cognitive physical development was a bit slow,
right,
if I can be specific. Okay. So I was put in a special ed classroom with other kids who had disabilities. And you would think that if you're put in a classroom with other kids, that acclimating and getting along with them wouldn't prove to be a problem. However, for me, and to this day, I still have no idea why, it was difficult for me. So my father would get ready to pick me up from physical or speech therapy, because I had therapy all throughout my adolescence. I mean, toddler, adolescent years. That sounds about right. So he would get ready to pick me up and all the kids would be together, playing together. And he would find me playing by myself in a corner. So that me playing by myself dynamic was the constant scenario playing out throughout my life, really, until I got ready to go into high school.
Okay.
So it was an ongoing.
I just think we froze up a bit. I don't know if it's me or you, Dion.
Because I just slept it, and hopefully my did have It may be the internet just so.
Oh, we lost you. All right. Sorry about, as you know, I'm always so grateful for people and their patience with technology. So, hey, hello. is everything okay? I just know that my internet sometimes is so wonky too.
Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Are you there?
You're frozen. I think you're freezing. Rick, we're freezing.
You're just frozen.
Oh, is that?
Sorry, I have to say this.
Okay, we lost her again.
Okay, can you see me?
I can, and I can hear you. Yay!
Yay, I'm sorry. I have to say that was my internet's fault. I warned you that.
And if I don't know, like I always just throw this out, if being live takes that up, then we can switch that around too if it becomes a problem.
Okay. I mean, I can go to my phone if it's easier. It's my internet, but I have no internet issues if I do it from my phone.
So whatever I could try for you. I'm flexible. Whatever would be comfortable for you.
Okay, so I'm gonna exit out of this and try logging onto my phone with the link.
Okay. Awesome.
Right. Okay. Be right back.
Thanks for everyone's patience. Technology in the wild 2022. This is those times, I feel like I'm talking to myself, where I'm like, oh, I really need to learn how to put music. Like elevator music.
Can you hear me?
Yes, you're connected. Yay! Yes.
Okay.
I was just saying, like, I have to improve my technology skills. So whenever there's an issue, I can like just press a button and have music going like an elevator.
Well, hopefully we have no more issues, I hope. Because I'm on my phone now. Hopefully you can still see the cool banner. Or at least
I didn't even get, well, I was holding that story back because I was going to tell them you know, that I already threatened to steal it because it's so beautiful. So, I mean, we can get to that. You're like, oh, I love being a podcast guest when people threaten to steal my stuff.
Oh, that's too funny.
So, so you were saying...
Before the internet... Yes, I struggled with mental health as early as 3 years old. Mm-hmm. Some people learn how to tie their shoes at 5. I learned at 7. That's just how my brain functioned. It was 2 years behind. That's the best indicator or any indicator as far as what it was that I struggled with mentally and physically. I was put in a special ed classroom with other kids who had disabilities, and you would assume or think that's easy to get along or acclimate to that environment because those kids have disabilities like you do, but it wasn't easy for me. And to this day, I still don't know why. So my dad would get ready to pick me up for physical and speech therapy, which I had several days a week growing up, and the kids would be all together playing blocks, and when he would come to pick me up, I would be by myself in a corner just playing by myself. So me being by myself was the constant dynamic throughout my whole life, really up until I got ready to go into high school. Wow. Just me being by myself, me being isolated and rejected pretty much. So eventually I was put into a regular classroom. The teacher of that special ed classroom took such an interest in me. She took it upon herself to continue teaching me in the regular mainstream classroom, which was pretty awesome. And she's basically my mentor to this day. And I'm still in touch with her.
Sounds amazing.
So new environment, new curriculum, different kids. Hey, I can have friends. But it was still the same dynamic, me not being accepted by my peers. And it really started taking a toll, like, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? And I got picked on for like several things, like any little kid would, having glasses or being too nice, mundane things that really shouldn't be made fun of, if I'm being quite honest. But it wasn't so much me being made fun of for that, like any typical kid would, but it was just the fact that they were rejecting me for being me. Like, and change that. I can't, like, get a new hairdo or get new glasses. It was just me existing. Mm-hmm. Like, they were rejecting just me. I couldn't change.
Which I think people sometimes struggle with identifying or connecting how traumatic that rejection is, especially at a young age.
Yes.
And how damaging it is.
It was pretty damaging, I would feel, because it just continued to affect me growing up over and over. Like, I can't change who I am. So at that point, just to give you a bit of a modern example as far as the classroom, because I did, you know, fifth grade, I would raise my hand. And I tried everything in my power to get friends and to put my best foot forward. And it seemed like nothing I do was going to change that. And I had a good childhood. I love my family. I have a good family. I have siblings. But I was missing that fundamental factor that I feel is essential to you evolving into your own and your personality in a way, is that socialization. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have any friends, no socialization whatsoever. And so as a result, I struggled with figuring out who I was in a way, like, who am I? Am I important? Nobody wants to be my friend, so I shouldn't be here probably if nobody wants to talk to me. Wow. So fast forward to fifth grade, you know, you're supposed to participate in a classroom. And again, I struggled because of my deficiencies and everything. So I raised my hand to answer a question. I get it wrong. Everybody in the classroom laughed. If somebody else answered the question wrong, nobody would laugh. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's like, wow, this is just going to be my life. Just blatant invisibility, if that was even a thing. Just, I couldn't
catch a break. So fast forward to middle school, I was fairly aware of my circumstances at this point, a little mini teenager adult, or if you will, with a mind that is capable of thinking. And it seemed like, and the only thing I would say was keeping me together was my faith, because I'm a Christian.
Okay.
So God was basically my only friend growing up, pretty much. So in spite of that, I did consider suicide at that point.
Wow.
When middle school. It was just so unfortunately obvious to me that I made it this far. I still have no friends. What's the point of me being here? If I were to disappear, would anybody care?
Right.
It's just, I was alone. I felt alone. And I mean, my family loved me, and they may have been aware on some small level that I had major insecurities because I was by myself. But as far as me considering suicide and ending my life, they were not aware on any level of that whatsoever. I kept it to myself because mm-hmm. as a family, obviously you want to protect your child, your cousin, your niece, mm-hmm. but they can't protect me from the world, really.
Right.
They can't protect me from the classroom. They can't make people be my friends as much as I'm sure they want to. It's really just circumstances and an environment, and I guess what I do, which at that point time didn't seem like anything I do was going to make a difference. Fast forward to another example, still in middle school. This example happened in the church, which is no disrespect to my faith or anyone's faith or congregation whatsoever. My relationship with God is very much important to my life, but this just so happened to happen in the church, which could be the circumstances for anyone, I feel. So in church, at least the churches I'm familiar with, there are small groups with, you know, people your age, middle schoolers, preteens, and there's usually like an adult or high schooler who facilitates the group. And at first, you know, you share something that's bothering you or vulnerable or something happened to you during the week. And then you get into like an in-depth conversation with some questions, which may pertain to the sermon or message for that day. Mm-hmm. So I would get ready to raise my hand. Like, if there's any chance to be vulnerable, it's obviously here. So, and this was very, very frequent. I would get ready to talk, and the second I start talking, someone would interrupt me without fail. And instead of that person who is facilitating, telling that person, hey, let this girl talk, you'll have a turn.
Mm-hmm.
The small group leader would start a separate conversation with the person that interrupted me. And excuse my language for a second, but it was like, damn, I can't even be vulnerable right now. I'm like truly, truly invisible.
Even so, in church.
Yeah, even in church. That's the messed up part. I can't even.
Yeah, right. Like, hello, like, I'm here, literally.
So, fast forward to the summer of me going into high school, pretty much. At this point, it seemed like nothing I do was going to change. I started volunteering in the church. Like, okay, if they see me, if they acknowledge me, or if they see me, they would have no choice but to acknowledge me in some way, because I'm there. I'm going to always be there.
Right.
But, and it's a closer relationship to God, obviously, because I love helping people and serving. But even doing that wasn't getting me anywhere. I mean, I still continue to do it, obviously, but it just seemed like I was never going to have friends, just never. So I was getting ready to go into high school at this point. Summer, there was this youth camp. All of the high schoolers were convincing me, who sort of acknowledged my existence or gotten used to my existence at this point, like, oh, you should go. And I have nothing against youth camps. I love youth camps. It's the aftermath of the youth camps that I have a problem with. Because in these camps, you're taken out of your environment, you're cut off from technology, you have no choice but to acknowledge somebody who's in the room with you and fellowship and unity and have a closer relationship to God. I'm like, okay, yay, they had to talk to me. They don't have their cell phones.
Right.
So you would think that being cut off from technology would be permeated in their brains because right. they're in a regular environment. But I would have friends. Yay, talk to me. Then I would come home and I would be invisible girl again, pretty much. It's like we didn't spend an entire week together in like Panama City Beach, which is normally where some of the camps are. Right. Like, who are you? Like, I was invisible girl again. So I was about to get ready to go into high school, had a very much firm understanding of my circumstances. Like, I'm not gonna put myself through this again. So they're like, go, go, go. And I would say my going changed the trajectory of my life pretty much.
Okay.
Because one of the final nights was, the topic was the Holy Spirit, which from my own explanation, many people experience it differently depending on the person, but I just felt a surge of love, grace, and emotion. Like all my prayers from since I was a little kid was answered in that moment. Wow. I was crying, praying over me, people were hugging me, like, damn, we would care if you disappeared. All of that was answered in that moment, and I couldn't be more grateful for that experience, because I feel like, quite honestly, I wouldn't be having this conversation with you right. if that didn't happen. So
it was like you went from invisible girl to a real person.
Yes. Wow. Yes, that's beautiful interpretation of that. I was being seen. I had a purpose. I was alive or awakened and not alone and miserable anymore, because I had friends. I had a purpose. I had a sense of self now, because I didn't think I had any sense, because I didn't feel like I had a reason for being here. So I went on to high school with a clear head. I had friends. I went on to do normal social activities, like join the homecoming court, be part of my high school newspaper. Fast forward to me graduating, just to give you some background for your audience who may still be listening despite the technical difficulties. So the doctors, as I mentioned, I was a bit 2 years delayed, so my learning style is a bit slow, or it takes some extra time and assistance for me.
Right.
So doctors, when I was born, told my family, hey, you might as well dope her up with medication, you know, calm her down, because I did have ADHD as well. She's basically retarded. So, of course, that's the last thing you want to hear. But doctors could be jerks, if I'm being honest. But
yeah, they need a little course in, you know, adding some presentation skills.
Yeah.
This is your parents must have been so scary for them, because then they can't connect with you and or hear what your needs are, or, you know, like in so many different ways.
It was challenging for them raising me. They didn't dope me with medication like the doctor suggested, but it was challenging raising me with all my deficiencies. I mean, eventually I did talk, because hey, I'm talking, obviously. When I was 3 years old.
So it just like came on? I don't understand. Like, you just, hey, I want pizza.
I maybe that could have been my first word, but I wish I can describe the specific moment of which it happened. I do know my first word was daddy. So I have a really close relationship with him, which goes base values to that being my first word.
Right.
But I can just go off of my little therapy sessions. I would have a card in front of me and I would have to try to sound it out. And that's usually how those sessions would go. Because of my ADHD, I would have physical therapy. They had like this sort of hang glider type of rope thing inside the building. And they would have a ball pit at the other end. And I'd be like, I would pretend I'm Tarzan or something and jump into the ball pit. But as far as how my speech started formulating, I can really just go off of those therapy sessions as far as when I started perfecting it.
Now,
so
did they try to teach you like sign language or anything? I'm sorry, like, I don't mean to interrupt. It was like, did they, or they were just trying to get you the therapies to?
they may have tried to teach me sign language. I'm really not entirely sure if that was, I know, I don't recall it being a part of my sessions, okay. But I don't know if that was ever considered okay. sign language. But so like I said, those doctors thought I was dumb and idiot. Not only am I categorized different, I'm categorized as dumb automatically. Right. So me graduating from high school was like an outstanding pivotal moment, not just for me, but literally everybody. Mm-hmm. Everybody. I'm going to get something to drink real quick. I've been talking for a minute.
Yeah, I love it. Join you.
Not only did I graduate from high school, I graduated with a 3.0 GPA,
hey.
2 scholarships, and I could have even graduated early if high school counselors didn't mess up my schedule junior year.
We know who they are.
But I not only did I struggle getting acceptance for being me, but I struggled just proving that my intelligence in general to everybody. So my whole life, I had to prove to everyone and overcome everything just to prove that I am intelligent, that I do have the capacity, that I am worthy of being here pretty much.
Yes. So, and you know, I think one thing that you shared was that made me think of my own experiences is when you don't fit in, you don't fit in.
Yeah.
And even, and I resonated with what you were saying of, you know, did I do something wrong? Because that's what we do. Did I do something wrong? Like, why don't I have friends? So, you know, like, because I was, when I was younger, I was made fun of and bullied, like for no, like you said, like I wasn't doing anything, but I just didn't fit in like they wanted me to. And so you kind of go through all of these things of like, well, what would I have to change? And then you try to change it, but it still doesn't work. So then you kind of like, you know, you're kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't. And you just sort of like keep going, which sounds like is what you did. Like you just, you had this resilience, even though you struggled with mental health and thoughts of, you know, whether you should be here or not. And you kept fighting.
Absolutely. So I know you mentioned in the intro, Warrior for Change, which has become my mantra and my life's calling, I would feel. You're probably curious as to why Warrior for Change, why that word, how did that pertain to your life? I'm sure.
Yes.
So how that came to be was through my diagnosis. In January 2020, I was diagnosed with diabetes. And to be diagnosed with anything during this pandemic just carries on its own onset of fears along with it. So my heart goes out to anyone who's been diagnosed with anything during this pandemic. Mm-hmm. But beforehand, I was literally on the cusp of death, pretty much. I was a skeleton. I was sick. There was no bone, literally. You probably could see inside my bones. It was
just withered away.
Pretty much. I had just turned 24. It was November, Thanksgiving, all these happy things. I was finally doing good in school. Finally. I'm majoring in graphic design, which is a challenging field.
Yes.
Particularly studying it. So it seemed like my life was at a good, somewhat rhythm. All my challenges growing up, they went on vacation. They decided to take it, they went out of town. It wasn't going to bother me or hold me back from continuing to prove my intelligence. I'm smart, I've shown it, nothing can get in the way of that. But all of that came crashing down when I became sick. I would have one bite of something and be full, or 2 bites of something and be full. And usually what will end up happening is me throwing it up. So no food was staying in my stomach at all. So nobody knew what was happening. I was just miserable, absolutely miserable. And for the first time since I was probably 10 years old, in my adulthood, there's probably a million things that you can think of in your adulthood, obviously. But for the first time in my adulthood, I actually considered suicide.
Wow.
Because I was suffering so much in such unbearable pain. And it was over something really silly when I think back to it, because again, I was suffering. Nobody knew what was happening to me. My family thought the best idea was to get as much food into me as possible, but we were inevitably making that even worse because it contains a lot of sugar in some respect.
So it was like poisoning you, right?
Yeah, it was like poisoning me. Of course, we didn't know that.
Right.
And I didn't know anyone who had died except for my best friend, but I didn't know it was diabetic related at that point. So my father, who's an incredible man, obviously, he was trying to get me to have a protein shake, and it was like mixed with ice cream or something, and I wasn't really taking to it. I was iffy. I'm a really picky eater. That goes up until I got diagnosed. It was just, it was really childlike food. Chicken fingers, was trying so hard, and he got really frustrated, and I just snapped. I said, instead of shoving this drink down my throat, I should shove a knife down my throat. And oh, wow. I just freaked out, ran to my room. I'm like, oh my goodness, I consider suicide. That was a suicide thought. We need to call my psychologist or something. I did have a psychologist at that point. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that, obviously. It was just a horrible experience, probably the most depressing and darkest period of my life. I my faith was shaken to its core more than ever. I thought I could die at any given moment. I thought God was up there, but by the time I heard the answer, I wasn't going to be alive to hear it.
Wow, that must have been terrifying.
It was absolutely terrifying. It was just a horrible, horrible experience. So to answer your question, why a warrior for change? When I got diagnosed, which was January 8, 2020, so it would be 2 years of this pandemic, which again, we're still struggling with that in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
I was also diagnosed with diabetes during that as well. So God placed the word warrior on my heart through my diagnosis. Considering what I just shared with your audience, my family, though obviously they love me and hey, I'm alive, didn't take kindly to this news because I've had to go through so much growing up. It didn't seem fair to have to go through anything in my adulthood.
Right, but right.
It's far better than the alternative, and that's simply not being here. I want to hate 2020. I want to hate it just like everybody else. I hate 2020. I hate it. I can't because I'm alive. And there's a good chance I would have been alive. So
did they discover it through testing? Is that?
Oh yes, my apologies.
It's okay.
So I was admitted to the hospital. It was like the first or second week of January, if I'm got my figures right on that. So they admitted me. I'm used to weighing about 127. Give or take pounds, and I was about 90, maybe less than that pounds when I was admitted.
Wow.
Been able to stand or breathe at all when I was admitted into that hospital. So they ran some tests, and I believe the next day, which would be January 8th, if I'm not mistaken, is when I got told by the doctors, hey, you have diabetes. Now, what type is probably what you're wondering. All this news was very new to me, obviously, and we had to get like new doctors and more doctors and all these medical checkups, which weren't a regular thing in my life, had to be a regular thing in my life at that point.
Okay, yeah.
We never specifically figured out, and hopefully your audience does not get upset with me. Like,
no, I have a great audience. They're very supportive.
I never figured out what specific type I have, but we've been treating it as type 1, and that seems to be the best route for me as far as my blood sugar goes.
Okay.
So, that's how the word warrior was placed on my heart. But as far as the actual meaning behind the word, I felt God placed it on my heart to be more vocal, to use the power of my voice for good. But I wasn't exactly sure as to how he wanted me to do that. As far as, I'm going to take a drink of soda real quick.
Hey, take your time.
As far as how he wanted me to do that. So as far as being vocal, I haven't done anything with vocalization except spoken word videos, which I did several months before anything was of dire circumstances, really. So maybe that was God's way of saying, hey, you didn't know I had this in mind.
I have a plan.
So fast forward to March. March, the infamous month of March.
Oh, 2020.
yeah, March 2020. So I had adjusted to this news. I felt like me again. I didn't like, oh, I can go out and not feel like a freak. When I got the news, I social distanced from everyone. I also took a break from school. And I think this is important to mention as far as how much I work hard. Somehow, while I was sick and on the very precipice of death, if you will, I ended up passing my classes somehow. And I missed a lot of days of school. So
wow.
This was its own little separate miracle. Like I could have died the next day and still passed my classes. But I find that little tidbit interesting
in its own way. That is amazing.
Worked very hard. So I took a break from school, obviously, to adjust to the news. I didn't really discuss it with anyone. I felt like it was my own news to bear, and I didn't want to put that on anyone, or I didn't feel like it was... People had trouble, my own immediate family had trouble accepting it as it is. I didn't want anyone else to take issue with it. At least not for me. I wasn't ready for them to have an opinion on it yet.
Mm-hmm.
So in March, which I'm laughing because I finally feel like me again, like, let me go out. I went to, you know, a birthday party. I'm like, okay, I can't really have cake. I can have maybe a microscopic tiny bite of cake, which I really did. I find it funny to this day. I'm me again. I'm going out. I went to the pool. I went out like once. And then that following week, everything got shut down here in Florida. So, I'm laughing because I didn't go out for like 2 months with the adjusting to this news. Right. So no socialization. Oh. I was sick. Could have died several months prior. So to finally be out and then have no choice but to quarantine, I was not okay with that. So what am I going to do? How am I going to adjust to this? I don't want to have suicide thoughts again. I don't want to struggle with my mental health again. I need that socialization. I need that support system. Mm-hmm. I need that I'm still me, regardless of the fact that I have diabetes. I'm still Deanne. I need that support system with this news and me adjusting to it. So this young adult ministry called my local here in Florida started doing Zoom sessions. So I decided to take part in that. And I think they hold a small tidbit as far as how I ended up launching my podcast to begin with, because they started telling me, hey, Deanne, what you say matters. What you say is inspiring. And I couldn't comprehend how on earth that was possible. You don't know me in a physical setting, yet I'm inspiring you through a screen. I don't get that at all. But it was, I guess, God's way of saying, hey, this ties into what I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah. Here's a new door with a window. Square.
Square. Or reverse, if you will.
Yeah. Yes.
So that summer, June 2020, I asked God, use me however you want to use me, taking into heart what God was calling me to do, what my friends told me. And that August 23rd, 2020, which will soon be 2 years, is when I launched my podcast, Words Apart, which, similar to your podcast, is about in-depth conversations of inspiration with an emphasis on mental health.
Wow. Connection. Love it. Wow, that, congratulations, that's so amazing. So what is it? I'm sorry, it's called Words of Courage, the podcast?
No, I'm sorry. It's called Words of Heart.
Words of Heart. Okay, awesome. And so that is that where the logo came from that I'm gonna steal?
It's funny you say that. So this isn't exactly the logo. My okay. dad just had it custom made for my podcast recordings.
Oh man, but the that's logo, beautiful. And if people are listening to the podcast and can't see it, it's a beautiful, like, how would you explain it? Like two hearts combined?
Two hearts combined, an infinity symbol. Sign. Infinity intersecting with a heart, I guess.
Yes, yeah, beautiful.
Term, but yes, it's awesome, it's dope in my own room, but it's not the official logo. So I think did it off of Amazon, so because all podcasters who I've come to know have like banners or flyers or something representing their podcast in the background, and
I have random Zoom backgrounds, I don't
well
like Mario
background, but my Zoom in the background, it looks weird. So I had to have something pretty dope to make my area stand.
I think you accomplished it. It's beautiful. But,
thank you. So if you want to steal that design, you're more than welcome to, but it's not the official logo that's scattered across social
media. Well, now I know, so I can go and buy it and not create felons. Yeah, well, when I hadn't really ever used Zoom that much before COVID, you know, I'd done meetings and stuff. So then when I started using the backgrounds, I was on another computer, and I remember I was doing a podcast, an episode, and I was doing this, I had this background where it was like a forest or something, and then all of a sudden I started disappearing into the green, so I just looked like Swamp Thing, where all of a sudden I just like disappeared, but people could still hear my voice. So it was like, okay, I gotta learn how to manage this a bit better.
But yeah, I love Zoom. For the first season of my podcast, it's just me, honestly, because I was getting new to it. Mm-hmm. It was just solely audio and me sharing my experiences. I wish I could play back every single episode for you right now, but we don't got time for that. But safe to say, there was much heart and a lot of rumbling in the midst of every single episode, pretty much. Yeah. But once the second season started, I got into the swing of things and I started having guests on my podcast. And once I updated some of my equipment, like have a high-tech computer for once, I started incorporating video interviews as well.
Ooh, awesome. I'll have to like pick your brain on that. Cause I feel like that, you know, and I've talked about this before on Friday Night Feels, the when I started this, I was just doing the video show and posting it, and I didn't turn it into a podcast until I don't know, 6 or 8 months into doing it, and I didn't realize how much that was there, you know, how much was there. And I had always thought that only famous people do podcasts. Like, well, oh, I could never do one.
Well, it's funny you say that, because some fellow podcasters have been calling me famous as of recently, because I had the lovely privilege to be featured in a magazine called Women Who Podcasts, which centers on female podcasters in their winter issue, which was released in January. So.
Oh my gosh, congratulations.
Thank you.
That's amazing. What an incredible accomplishment.
It's pretty awesome. Like I may have mentioned this before, I have only been podcasting for a year, mm-hmm. and it just is a it's obviously about my journey as a podcaster, but also my journey as a person, because as I mentioned, obviously podcasting is a vocal platform for everyone. And the fact that my voice was non-existent for the first 2 years.
So long.
Is like essential to my growing, overcoming, and just my podcast, and just all coincide with each other as far as me being that platform and an open forum for those to share their stories and their voices and just help others who are struggling with their mental health as well.
Right. And I would imagine too that because you have that experience of being invisible, that you can also probably connect to those other people who feel invisible and you know, remind them you aren't alone.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
To find your people and to find your connection and to not give in to those dark thoughts, which are really, really powerful when you're in pain.
Yes, they are very, very powerful. I know I mentioned this as far as me having a suicide thought when I was younger. I possibly only made one attempt, if I'm being quite honest. And though there's no scar, it was very fortunate there isn't. Our mind does go to dark places. So I'm very glad that I am still here and having this conversation with you, because we all have a purpose for being here. So.
Great. Yeah, I'm glad you're here too. Inspiring me and everyone that listens and everyone that you touch. It's amazing. And I think there's such a strength and a courage to talk about that, to really challenge the shame, but also to bring light, you know, some of the issues in different systems and schools and growing up, that, and for parents to know, hey, there, this is what you might want to look for. You know, I think a lot of times parents, you know, that I work with, when they're worried about their children, they think very specific signs that something's wrong. And a lot of times it's when they go quiet, when the kids go quiet and they shut down, and when they're in such pain that they don't want to burden their parents, even though the parents don't want that for them. But you're opening up some amazing discussions for people of all ages to say, hey, how are you doing? What's going on? What's happening? And are you okay?
Right. Okay, Patrick, you're still there for a second.
I'm sorry. No, it's saying my internet connection's unstable. So whatever. I'm sorry if I cut out. I was just saying, like, it's inspiring that you're opening up the discussion so that people can talk about these issues.
Absolutely. I find mental health is a more important conversation than ever, considering we're still in this pandemic season and there's uncertainty, and people should, I feel, in my opinion, be more open to discussing it, because it's not a taboo topic or an ugly topic to discuss, because it affects all of us.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's one positive that's coming out of the 2 years that we've been dealing with this, is really fighting the stigma of mental health in different populations and different groups and different, you know, genders and backgrounds and all these different things of, oh, at the base, we have to treat each other like human, and we have to fight to keep that human connection.
Absolutely. It's the most important connection, honestly.
Yeah. And so what are your plans now? So if people wanted to listen to your podcast, sure, how can they find you?
Sure. So as Patrick mentioned, my name is Deion Sanchez, and my podcast is called Words of Heart. This is not the official logo, but my own logo is pretty dope because it has me in it. But anyhow, you can find my podcast, Words of Heart, on Facebook, YouTube, and wherever you listen to your podcast, Apple, Spotify, Google. I do audio interviews as well as video interviews. So there's really a variety of ways you can listen to it as far as audio, video. I am 3 seasons. So I currently finished the 3rd season a couple weeks ago. So obviously there will be a season 4. There's a many, many episodes, just to give Patrick an idea as to my mind as a podcaster. For the second season, as I mentioned, I introduced guests. I went outside the podcasting norm because I was still a newbie. I ended up releasing over 103 episodes.
Oh my God. How? Wow.
So, how? That's a wonderful question. How? So, like many people of my area, there were things shut down. And for me, I'm also a college student and eventually did have to go back to school. Mm-hmm. Everything got converted to being online. And I didn't have a job, so I had a lot of free time to do episodes. I uploaded a lot. I went overboard. Apparently, uploading that many episodes is like crazy town for a podcaster. But
that's amazing.
For the third season, I just released 64 episodes. I didn't go crazy because unlike last season, I have a job and I'm on the brink of finishing school. So there are plenty episodes for your audience to binge watch.
Yes, that is incredible. You have found your voice in reaching people who need to be inspired and who look for. I think, you know, sometimes I've talked about, you know, the benefits and sometimes the cons of social media and podcast. And I know for myself, one of the things that I had to learn was really filtering through of whatever I do, whether it's podcasts or Facebook or Instagram or anything, is I want my feed to be with people who inspire me and who challenge me at the same time.
Absolutely. And I feel like I connect with many good podcasters on my social media accounts as well, which is Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. Twitter and Instagram is probably the best as far as connecting with fellow podcasters, but they all share, I think, the same mission, as I'm sure you do as well, and that is perhaps making someone's day a bit brighter, whether it's through discussing movies or mental health or laughter or horror flicks, if you're into that. I'm not a horror flick girl, so I'm just going to put that out there. But just lifting up someone's day in some way. Right. Just being a positive force is probably the best definition as far as the fundamental goal that we are with podcasters.
And it's so interesting, you know, when, and I know we, you know, we've been different Facebook groups together of, you know, different people have different expectations, which is fine. You know, some people want to be famous and some people, which is great. But I think one of the things that people don't know if they haven't done a podcast is how much really goes into it. And the stress and the anxiety and the worry of, am I presenting something that's going to help people? And sometimes it's hard. Sorry, my internet's unstable again. I'm getting that signal. Sweet. Good grief, Charlie Brown. You know, the different methods of and reasons that people do podcasts. And I'm sure you went through this too, of like, all right, I do all these episodes or I do all this. Like, is it helping? Is it, you know, reaching anyone? And you go through kind of like those moments of doubt of, should I give this up? Should I do this? And then all of a sudden you get that one message or you connect with someone and it's like, yeah, it was all worth it just because of this moment. Like all the frustration just melts away and the doubt melts away. And then that faith is almost reignited of, all right, I am, you know, every time we need a little reminder, I believe that it's like, you know, those reminders come in. It's like, no, keep going. It's not always going to be easy, but you're not alone.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more with that one message that makes it all worth it. Because a lot of work goes into being a podcaster. I certainly put a lot of work into it. Probably a little bit more than ever because I'm a college student. I also have a job now. I have truly have to remember that I have a life outside of podcasting.
So yes.
A lot of work goes into it, especially if you don't have like the extra series of equipment or a co-host or producer or all those other words or terms you can think of as far as producing a podcast. But I think there's a lot of heart behind it more than ever that I solely do everything because it shows that my content is all the more special, I feel, and organic. So
absolutely. Oh, we're both freezing. And watch, as soon as we get off the podcast, the internet will be fine. It'll be fine. Like, we turn it off, it's like everything's running high speed. It's like, it's just as when you're doing this conversation. So, you know, as we, I'm so thankful that you came tonight, and I'm so glad we connected, and, you know, now you're part of the Friday Night Feels family, so please, I hope you can come back and keep us updated on everything you're doing.
Yeah. Of course. Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, Patrick. If I could just leave your audience with one tidbit of advice or a quote.
Well, I was actually just going to ask you what you would want them to walk away with. Super so connected! What is one thing that you would like to share with us?
Sure. And it's this. You are a warrior in spite of your circumstances.
Ooh, I love that. A mic dropped. Well, I cannot wait. I'm going to find your, you know, your podcast tonight and like your page to like to support you and anything that you do, because it just sounds really inspiring. And I'm just so honored that we met, and this has just been awesome.
Oh, thank you so much, Pat. It was such a pleasure being on your podcast this evening.
Yeah. Well, I hope you come back, and everyone else Absolutely. For us who watches and listens, thank you for supporting Friday Night Feels. I know that this is a big holiday weekend for people, so I hope you all have a beautiful, happy holidays, and I will see you in 2 weeks. Have a wonderful night.